a couple years ago, well, it was more than a couple years ago, it was at least 5 years ago, I was done Splatalot, I was done university, and I feel like I had a big project lined up that somehow got canceled, what else is new, and I felt like I had the whole summer to myself to get something accomplished. And maybe I saw it on TV, invariably there's always these celebrities who will come out with kids' books despite never being children's authors before. I'm sure it's a really nice cash grab. And I think I saw like John Lithgow do it once. Nothing against John. He's a wonderful actor. I'm sure the book was very good, but I must have seen one of these scenarios and thought, hey, if they can do it, I can do it too. I'm going to write a kid's book this summer. So I called up my friend from high school who I used to write a lot of comedy stuff with. And I said, let's put our heads together and we will come up with something good. And he said, amazing. That sounds great. And then he immediately left the project, leaving me alone to write this kid's book by myself. I didn't know what to write. I knew I wanted to write a kid's book. I did not have anything to go on. I'm thinking up ideas, but nothing was really, really, really turning over in my head. So I gave up and I walked away from it. And it's just like, once that happens, that is always when the idea comes, because life is cruel and adorable like that. And one morning I woke up with this in my head. It was like somebody slipped it under my pillow at night. In high school, my friends and I used to do this character, and calling this a character is in itself very generous. The character was called The Man Who Was For Naught. And I feel like we were in the bathroom and we had to do a photo shoot for a play we were doing. So we were just playing around and being idiots. And we came up with this character who everything that he thought was a thing was not actually a thing. So he thought he was in an office, but it wasn't really an office. He was sitting in a bathroom stall. His chair was not a chair. It was a toilet. His cigarette was not a cigarette. It was a pencil. He was such a pathetic person that everything was not a thing. I don't even know if it was that funny at the time. It was certainly not funny now that I've explained it to you. Nevertheless, for whatever reason, I thought this is who this story must be about. So I wrote this all in a day. It was very like, I will not leave the house until I'm done this story. And I wrote it and I liked it and I showed it to other people and they liked it. And I had some connections in the publishing industry, not people who could do anything for me, just people that I could contact. And we sent it to Penguin Books, who sent me such a lovely rejection letter that I was actually happy and proud to get it. They said such nice things about it that while I understood why they didn't want it, I thought, wow, this is pretty good. And now, years later, I'm reading this for the first time to all of you, to let you decide. And the name of the story is The Man Who Was For Naught by RJ City. Get ready, kids. Here we go. That wasn't the beginning. That was just, okay, we're going to start now. Although you may complain about the things you haven't got, you surely must have plenty more than the man who was for naught. The man thought he had plenty, for he had grinned and he had beamed, but then he came to realize life wasn't what it seemed. The man woke up one morning from a long and peaceful sleep to find his bed was not a bed, it was a mountain sheep. He rose up quickly from his sheep and began to wash his face. He scrubbed and scrubbed until he saw his soap was a briefcase. Nonsense, said the man as he sat down on the potty. But his toilet was no toilet, it was a master of karate. I'm headed for the kitchen, and breakfast I shall eat. But his eggs were made of marbles, and his bacon was concrete. He had to flee the house, so to the door he ran. But the hat he placed upon his head was really a tin can. He waited at the bus stop to be taken into town, but a cow came rolling down the street in a wedding gown. This bus is not a bus, and my hat is not a hat, but my friends in town are still quite real, I am sure of that. My friend Larry, my friend Joe, and my darling pal Michelle. I'll see their faces, then I'll know that everything is well. The man had climbed upon the cow and into town they rode. But once he saw what awaited him, he was ready to explode. Larry was not Larry, and neither was poor Joe. One was just a broomstick, and the other, pizza dough. But the worst of all that happened had happened to Michelle, who was not a broomstick or some dough. but a tiny little shell. What happened to my friends? Am I the only one alive? And with no one to talk to, how will I survive? Or is this all inside my mind and just some fabrication? Was everything I thought I knew just my imagination? I must hold on to what I know is absolutely real, to prove that I am not insane and better how I feel. Something real and something true that cannot, will not change. When I find this one true item, life won't be so strange. Something that is what it is and will be what it will be. The thing that I am looking for must certainly be me. My hair is something real, and on my scalp it is sprawled. But when the man had touched his head, he found out he was bald. My eyes will always be my eyes. I can always look around. But as he reached up to his eyes, they crumbled to the ground. But I can smell and I can hear, so my senses must exist. That is until his ears and nose had faded into mist. So I cannot see, I cannot hear, I certainly cannot sneeze. I hope someone can hear me now. Help me, please. Aha! My voice must still be real, and my mouth still in my head. But those were the very last words the man had ever said. With the mouth now gone, the poor man's face held only just a chin, while his body still had muscles, bones, and slightly drooping skin. Of course, what had happened next was never a big shock. His bones and muscles vaporized, and his skin turned into rock. People often wonder if this story could be true, but the man who this had happened to is the only one who knew. So next time you do anger over things you haven't got, your life is always better than the man who was for naught. So that's the story. And yeah, it's a poor children's story, and you can see how nicely it would be illustrated, but it also has elements of horror and existential dread. And no matter what age you are, I find that endlessly relatable. But you know what? This story was not for children. This story was for you. Good night. This has been More Content with RJ City.